While this is the first time Kimberly Fobbs has run for statewide office, she is no stranger to either politics or the insurance industry. She has long been active in Tulsa County politics and currently serves as the chair of the Tulsa County Democratic Party. Fobbs also has held management and leadership roles at the insurance and financial services company MetLife. In this interview with Insurance Journal's Stephanie Jones, Fobbs discusses her views of the state's insurance market and why she wants to become Oklahoma's next insurance commissioner. What, in your opinion, are the primary functions of the Oklahoma Insurance Department?
The primary functions are enforcement and regulation of the insurance laws of our state. There should be a combination of a couple of focuses, which is consumer protection. We need to make sure we have a competitive marketplace, ensure solvency of the entities that we regulate. And there are eight primary agencies that fall under the regulation of the insurance department and the insurance commissioner's responsibilities. And it's my view that each of those agencies needs to have the same level and focus of oversight. At times, there have been some commissioners that focus on one area more than others, but equally, we are responsible for the anti-fraud, bail bonds, consumer assistance, field operations, which is really the assistance and consumer-facing part of the agency. The financial support is critical. We need to have strong financial examinations. The legal division, clearly the biggest part that faces the marketplace, has to do with licensing and education. Then rate compliance, real estate appraiser division, and also focusing on ISO review, which I believe is an underutilized focus today, which is working with fire departments and communities, especially in rural Oklahoma, to help reduce their rates, and that would impact overall savings across the state. And then there's kind of a tangential division, which is the MAP, or the Medicare Assistance Program, which works with seniors in understanding and advocating across Medicare, supplements, Advantage, long-term care, et cetera.
What aspects of your professional background do you feel qualify you for service as Oklahoma's insurance commissioner?
Well, I have several key points. First and foremost, I spent 16 years in various management roles and divisions with Metropolitan Life Insurance. At that time, they were the number one insurer in the United States. And that exposure was not as an agent who profited primarily from commissions and sales, but the person that actually had to know policies and provisions, take claims, administer, investigate. My experience ranged from annuities, beneficiary assignment, death claims, institutional products, including dental, auto, and home, working with the employer and the eligibility side of the business as the interface for most consumers to have insurance, customer service. And then specifically, I also ran our consumer relations investigations unit, and that is actually the entity within most insurance companies that actually interfaces with state insurance departments when there's a complaint. So that had both NAIC implications as well as sometimes we were vigorously defending when our company or agents were in the right, but equally I've given back money when they were in the wrong. I've had to testify on cases, and I also, several years ago, there had been a situation nationwide where retirement policies were, or excuse me, insurance policies were sold as retirement vehicles, which misled a lot of consumers. And at that time, it was having a full-scale audit and investigation and managing that relationship with various insurance departments and legal entities. I further had my LOMA educational requirements, and I also was a Series 6 and 26 registered representative with the NASD. And further, which I think is key to this role, is it's not just enough to know the business. You also have to have the skill sets in leadership and management. And from that perspective, I was a certified quality auditor. I spent many years of my career in data and metrics management roles and also served as a business intelligence analyst. And so what that means is that I'm going to go into this not only looking for root cause analysis, but providing meaningful and measurable data and analytics to show what is and what isn't working, to provide scorecards and visibility to our consumers, and also to help promote and challenge more competition in our industry, but knowing who are the players that are doing it right, who are those that we need to help educate on how to improve their processes. I also proudly served our state under both a Republican and Democratic governor on the Judicial Nominating Commission, who is responsible for picking the finalists for the governor to select for the appellate court positions in Oklahoma. And what that demonstrates is that my leadership experience has been nonpartisan, working with both sides for the benefit of Oklahoma. I believe that the insurance department and the commissioner should not be political because it affects all of us. And so those are the things that I will bring to this, as well as I'm also the leader of my county party of over 100,000 voters. And so that gives me the opportunity everywhere I go to relate both to the consumer as well as the business side. And I believe those are strengths that I bring to the office.
Well, then why do you want to serve as Oklahoma's insurance commissioner?
Well, for several reasons. First of all, I believe I am the most qualified person to serve of the candidates that are remaining. Secondly, it was a call to service by the things that I've just mentioned and many more things I've done. I've always been a public servant. And in Oklahoma, we suffer as a state from some of the highest insurance rates in the nation. Women, seniors, our rural and low-income people are disproportionately affected. We are third highest in national average in auto and home, as opposed to the surrounding states of Texas, Arkansas, Missouri, and Kansas. We have seen clearly for the last 8 years that our people have some of the lowest rates of coverage, whether we're talking health care or in some of the other primary insurance categories, and we have a significant need to make sure that that office is not politicized. And my concern is that my opponent, who is a sitting legislator, who has a record of both votes for and against that show where he is with in terms of consumers versus focusing on the corporations and lobbyists, and I don't believe that position should be bought and paid. And so it should be up to the voters to decide, and I believe I offer the voice of the consumer as well as a moderating voice for bringing more competition into our state, because we absolutely need to have more choice and more affordable choices for our consumers, and I believe that I have the opportunity to provide a competitive business environment that will be friendly to achieving those goals.
How would you describe the current state of the insurance market in Oklahoma at this point?
If I were to give it a letter grade, I don't believe that we are passing. If I were to look at it in terms of opportunity, then the glass half full is that we have significant opportunities to bring people to the table to improve the conditions in Oklahoma. And a competitive marketplace will both improve quality for the consumer as well as provide business opportunities. And then that ultimately leads to lowering rates, lowering premiums, and making sure that when you look at there's so many leading indicators, but our overall poverty level in Oklahoma, the median wage in Oklahoma, and then you try to put together a model that says what does the average person need to live on, clearly it is putting the purchase of critical insurance needs as a secondary item as opposed to a primary item over food, rent, utilities. And so we've got to do something to address that because our system is unsustainable. I equally will say, again, we've got to focus on every agency. Within the bail bondsman agencies, there are some significant issues, especially with concerns with State Question 788, some of the legislation that has made prior felonies into misdemeanors. That is going to have a significant impact of bringing more of the load down to the county level. Within real estate appraiser division, we clearly need to have more of a focus. The prior insurance commissioner was basically a de facto member on the real estate board, which is fine, but when we look at the tie between man-made earthquakes, real estate appraisers, the technology, another big one on my plate is data integrity and cybersecurity. We've got to be proactive in those areas and understand that we're pushing that risk down to the consumer level, and we need to have an opportunity to analyze that. So I would say that current state, again, we need work, but in terms of opportunity, because these are all areas that we can address with the right focus and the right commitment, that we can only get better.
What would you say would be a way to strengthen or improve the insurance market?
Specifically to the healthcare market, it's going to be choice and competition. We have basically one insurer that has a monopoly on the market. And when you do that, both in terms of the horizontal and the vertical markets, setting the rates, choices, locking doctors either into contracts or locking them out of the network, rural healthcare is being starved, quite frankly, in our current healthcare model. And so I believe that having an opportunity to invite CEOs from other insurers to the table and hosting a summit on what it will or won't take to improve competition and choice in Oklahoma, that that's a healthy thing. We've got to have that. And the other thing that concerns me is across the board, when I look at the year-over-year decline in not only the number of domestic insurers writing premium in our state, but the amount that they've been writing, those are areas of concern.
So if elected, what would be some of the initiatives you would pursue?
Well, I have so many. First and foremost, you don't make decisions without knowing your current status before you move forward. And so from an internal perspective, I have got to be able to sit down with the leaders of each of the departments and regulated entities and understand what is and what isn't working. I will be very open to say that the current insurance commissioner has been gracious to allow me to educate myself in this process, and I've met with both the Tulsa and the Oklahoma City staffs in recent weeks, and we talked about what are some of the areas or challenges that exist. So, for example, one area that is not currently under the insurance department responsibility that definitely needs to have a look is within interlocals, because communities that are banding together to self-insure, their risk and amount of money that they're putting into their funding mechanisms may not be significant for some of the changes that we're seeing happening. Another area that we need to focus on is that the insurance department is responsible for the oversight and regulation of PEOs, which are the private employment organizations, but they really only touch a small piece of it, which is the insurance reserve. And there is a gap there where we already know in our state between workers' comp and other changes that too many people are using that as a contractor opportunity to avoid having full coverage. And we need to look at that. And so I want to look at the gaps that exist. Specifically, as I said earlier, of all of our markets, life and health, property and casualty, we've got to address the fact that we need more healthcare choices from the business to consumer competitive side. But within the healthcare market, I really have concerns about doing a full analytic review and publishing that information on claims paying practices, timeliness. I'm seeing some disturbing trends of certain coverages that are clearly within policy languages not being covered, and the average consumer doesn't have the tools to be able to understand when they get denied, and denials lead to delays or even death in certain circumstances, the tools to make sure that we've got full visibility into that. And then also, we've also made the recent decision, as you may already be aware, that the uninsured motorist and the insurance verifications has moved into the insurance department. I want to make sure that we're fully prepared to do so and that we have the tools in place. From the bail bondsman industry, one of the areas of concern that I've heard over and over again that we need to have conversations, if not directly with the insurance department, that we need to be working with our legislative advocates is, in many cases, the bondsman, say, for example, someone is arrested on a, we'll call it a manslaughter charge, and they build their bond based off of a manslaughter charge. And by going through the court process, if they are upcharged to first-degree murder or in any cases when the initial bond is based on a lesser charge and that's changed in the court system, both the risk and the potential for flight risk are incurred by the bondsman industry, but they don't have any opportunity today to review and reset that bond. And so there's a risk there that is being incurred. So there's so many areas, but those would be a few that I would like to focus on. And lastly, consumers still are not aware of all the advocacy and protection opportunities available within the insurance department. And so, as I mentioned, focusing on both healthcare, increasing the market and competition, I also want to provide some type of panel or consumer citizen review where we can actually have consumers tell us what is and what isn't working from their perspective as well, so that we're just not having a one-sided conversation. And the last area that I would like to focus on is the provider community. We're seeing in certain cases, especially as I mentioned in rural Oklahoma, we've got to understand how do we make sure that we are not just killing off access to health care, access to insurance in our rural communities. And when we live in urban populated areas, we don't see the impact of someone having to take off 2 to 3 hours to be able to go to their nearest in-network provider. That becomes a whole day lost of work, which that has an impact at the obviously to our communities. We're seeing rural providers that are being reimbursed at a rate that is lesser than in an urban area for the exact same procedure. We've got to understand why that is happening, and we've got to make sure when we are 48th in the nation, there's a whole lot that's not working well. We have an opportunity through the advocacy of this office to bring those issues to the table and start getting some real meaningful solutions.
And finally, what message would you like to convey to insurance agents and brokers in Oklahoma?
I want to convey two messages. The first, which is that the insurance department should be an area that provides value, both whether you are a consumer or an agent or broker. And what do I mean by that? Another area that I've heard is if you're on the front lines, consumers are shopping agents because of the fact that they can't afford it. And it is equally frustrating, as I've heard, to have a relationship with underwriters now to know what rates are being based off of so those agency holders can have an opportunity to preserve their customer base. From a training and licensing perspective, while in recent years earthquake was added to the curriculum of continuing education, there is feedback that we need to have better delivery systems for the education component that we provide to them. Certainly, there is a lot of money that flows through the agency in terms of licensing and registrations, and we need to look at that. It needs to be appropriate. But I think that there are some opportunities for improvements in the system. And from the bonding perspective, when they talk to me about licensing and education, one of the areas that the insurance department and the commissioner can directly influence is there is one and only one today approved provider, which is through the bondsman board, to provide continuing education. As in any model, when you have a single provider, you have a single fail point. We need to make sure, because everyone can't go to Oklahoma City. You can't run a business when you have to travel halfway across the state. So I want to make sure that we provide more tools, more effective tools for training and development, whether it's apprenticeships, whether it's more stepped-in processes and licensing reviews. But they need to be smart, they need to be effective, and they need to be relevant with the changes that are happening real-time in our industry.
Well, Kimberly, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.